Well, in our teaching time, we're in a message series called Small Books and Big Messages. We're taking a look at four books in the New Testament that are they're one-chapter books, or in essence, no-chapter books. There's no chapter two. And so 2 weeks ago, we were in 2 John. Today, we're going to be in the book of 3 John, which is the shortest book in the New Testament. Only 219 words, Greek words. And the title of today's message is Walking in the Truth, because the word truth is a key word. You know, whenever you read a section of Scripture, you're looking for repeated terms. And the word truth is repeated about 7 times in the book of 3 John. We love in the truth. The truth of God is our boundaries. We walk in the truth. We live in the truth. We love in the truth. And truth was the teaching handed down from the apostles. To us, it's the Word of God written and revealed in the Bible. To know the Bible is to have a standard of truth. To obey the Bible is to obey the truth. So that's where we are today. And gang, whenever we come before Scripture like this, our ultimate aim and goal is to help you add impact and influence and legacy to your circle. And I believe this section of Scripture can help us. Let me introduce you to our cast of characters. This is the most personal of the Apostle John's writings. It's incredibly personal. You know, 2 John was written to a woman, not really named. This letter has some very specific names. So here are our cast of characters. All right, here on the screen, the Apostle John. He's the one writing. And Gaius, we'll meet Gaius. Gaius is a great guy, a good leader. And then there's Diotrephes, not so much a good guy. In fact, if you know, if we had an audience participation, you'd cheer for Gaius, you'd boo for Diotrephes. And then there's Demetrius. He's basically the mailman. He's the one who brought this letter to the readers, and he's also a traveling missionary, a traveling minister. Now, here's what you got to know, and this is, you know, somewhat encouraging, that the Apostle John, he's up in years now. This is about the last decade of the first century. It's been a long time since he was physically walking with Jesus. And even though he's an apostle and these are early churches, they have problems. Wherever you have people, you're going to have challenges. And you had a number of people who wanted to open the door too widely. Whether they were just overly sentimental or perhaps they weren't discerning, there was no sense of truth. And they just endorsed everything. There was no discernment. They endorsed and blessed everything. And listen, and we should love everyone. We love even our enemies, but we do not endorse every teaching, every idea, every concept. And so you had some folks who just wanted to open everything indiscriminately with no sense of discernment, no filter. Then you had others who wanted to make it so narrow, maybe because of self-centered motives. They were too narrow and sometimes even mean-spirited. And so John would write about love. He'd also write about truth. And he says both are vital. We walk in the truth, we walk in love, and we can do both. Let's not be too harsh, and let's not be too non-discerning as well. We can do this, all right? So reading 3 John beginning verse 1, the elder, that's the Apostle John, to my dear friend Gaius, and he's going to say that repeatedly, my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. In other words, we share something in common. I don't love you just as an enemy. We are partners. We have fellowship with one another. I love you in the truth. Now, that name Gaius, there are 3 other people named Gaius in the New Testament. Is this one of those? Probably not. The name Gaius is actually one of the more common names at this time and in this area. Very common name. Did you ever see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Funny movie, great movie. Remember the scene where the two families, the family of the bride, the family of the groom, they meet for the first time. And of course, the bride's family is this big Greek family, and the patriarch, Gus, is introducing his family to the other family. And he says, and this is my brother and his children, Nick, Diana, and Nick. And my other brother and his children, Nick, Diana, and Nick. And these are our cousins and nieces and nephews. Let me see, there's Nick, 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 Nicky, Nick, Nick. So you get where I'm going. So the name Gaius was a very, very common name. It's a cool name. It's a great sounding name. Kind of like our modern, you know, contemporary, you know, Bob, Bill, John, Ronald. Cool sounding names like that. So this is Gaius, and he's a great guy. Fabulous guy. Dear friend, verse 2, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. You're doing so well spiritually. I pray your business prospers. I pray your health prospers. Listen, and it's okay to pray for people to prosper, not just spiritually, but in other ways. Because listen, as the Old Testament will tell us, when righteous men and women prosper, everything around them gets better. Haven't you ever worked for a wonderful boss, and she walks with the Lord, he walks with the Lord, and everything around them is better? It's a good thing. And it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth and telling how you continue to walk in the truth. And now the best known statement in all of 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And as any parent or spiritual parent can attest, that's a fabulous, fabulous joy. Dear friend, he says it again, you were faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers to you. Now, what's Gaius doing for everyone? Listen carefully. Gaius is an underwriter. He is a sponsor. He is an energizer. He is a generous giver and supporter of missionaries and ministers. And if believers don't support missionaries and ministers, who will? Unbelievers are not. The federal government is not. In 2 John, we studied 2 weeks ago, the Apostle John says, you cannot endorse everything. You got to have a sense of discernment about you. You just can't bless every teaching and teacher that comes along. Some deny Christ. Some have the spirit of the Antichrist. But good missionaries and teachers, my goodness, support them. Underwrite them. Be a co-laborer with them. Notice what he says, verse 6. They've told the church about your love. And please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. You know, over the years, all of our missionary partners, we've tried to do that. Not be stingy, but if we have a partnership, to support them and honor them in a way that honors God. And it was for the sake of the name they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. Again, ministers and missionaries, unbelievers are not going to support them. Federal government's not going to support them. If we don't, who will? Verse 8, we ought therefore to show hospitality. Read support. Think underwriting. Engaging. Having a relationship with. We show hospitality to such people so that we may, here's the phrase, work together for the truth. In other words, not everyone can go. Not everyone can be a minister. Not everyone can be a missionary. But we can all play a part and support. And as Jesus said, whoever partners with a righteous person also receives that righteous person's reward. I am fully aware that what I do is made possible by the sacrificed and donated dollars and cents of righteous. Not everybody can be a minister. Not everybody can be a missionary. But we are co-laborers. Our missionaries are, we are co-laborers with them, and you get to a righteous person's reward in that. And that's Gaius. That's who he is. A fabulous supporter, cheerleader, generous benefactor of good. That's wonderful. That's the kind of person we want to be. And now John turns it a little bit, and we come to verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, here's another church character. And Diotrephes loves to be first. And Diotrephes would not welcome us. Hey, the Apostle John, he's the apostle of love. Who would have anything against the Apostle John? Answer, someone who didn't want to share the stage with the Apostle John. Someone who didn't want to make room for him. And here's the way I would define the loves to be first mentality. It's not a love to excel. That's not it. Loves to be first, an unwillingness to make room for the other substantial gifts that other brothers and sisters can bring to the table. He wanted it all. Now, some of you remember, and some of you probably didn't see this movie because it's a very high-class movie. It's called Talladega Nights. And the key character in the movie is a guy by the name of Ricky Bobby. Remember Ricky Bobby? And Ricky, here he is. Here he is. He's on screen now. If you ain't first, you're last. That was his motto. If you ain't first, you're last. And he said, that's what his dad always said. And remember towards the end of the movie, his dad said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I never said that. Or if I did, I don't know what I was thinking. That's just not true. If you're first, or if you're not first, you're last. You could be second. You could be third. You could be fourth. That's fine. But Diotrephes lives by the motto, if you're not first, you're last. What does that look like? Well, John tells us. Verse 10, so when I come, he says, I'm going to come there. And we're not going to ignore this. You can't just ignore church bullies or any kind of bully. When I come, I'm going to call attention to what he's doing. What's he doing? Spreading malicious nonsense about us. You know, this is that spirit that just loves to either find fault or create it. It's an attack mode mentality. It's that spirit that says, here's the way I'm going to earn your trust. I'm going to earn your trust by creating distrust in everybody else. I'm going to maliciously attack everyone else so the only person left is me. That's Diotrephes. And John says, and not being satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome other believers. You know, like Gaius, who has this wonderful spirit who's helping? That's not Diotrephes. And he also stops those who want to do so, and he puts them out of the church. You mean to tell me that Diotrephes was even falsely accusing the apostle John? Yes. Why? Because he was a threat. Listen very carefully. There is nothing wrong with aspiring to be a leader. The Bible says you aspire to be a leader, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to be a leader. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to excel in everything you do. Last week, Billy Granville was up here. See Billy right over here. And he talked about values. He wanted to press along with his family, with his children. You know, love God first. Love your family. Love your country, your nation. And excel aim to excel in everything you do. And he says, and it's okay to aspire to be captain of your team. Billy was captain of the football team, Duke University. It's good to aspire to be a leader. It's good to aspire to excellence in everything you do. But in a community environment and a family environment, which is what the church is, you just can't take the wrong path of command and control and trying to earn trust by creating distrust in other. You aim to be a leader by following Jesus, not by following the spirit of Diotrephes. And by the way, does Diotrephes sound like a happy person to you? No. Power and authority in the hands of a good person is a wonderful thing. Authority in the hands of a good person who's under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Well, continuing on, verse 11 here. Dear friend, he says it again to Gaius. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. And now he endorses the mailman who's bringing this letter, who's a traveling minister. His name is Demetrius. And he says, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. And we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. And he closes this little letter by saying, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon. We're going to talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings and greet the friends there by name. Okay, so having read this short little letter, shortest in the New Testament, what are some observations? Here's the first one. Play your part in both protecting and proclaiming the historic apostolic Christian message. Play your part, listen carefully, in both protecting and proclaiming. Remember, 2 weeks ago, John talks about protecting the Christian message. Let me remind you of what he says in 2 John verses, beginning verse 7, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, they've gone out into the world, and any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. And anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God, but whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. In other words, don't be so undiscerning. Don't be so sentimental that you endorse everything that you hear. I mean, as a parent, do you just let any kind of movie come into your house? You just let any kind of music come into your house? You just let any kind of information come around? And John says, there are deceivers out there, deceivers in the name of Christianity, and they may mean well. They may be deceived themselves. But if they are denying essential, cardinal aspects of the Christian faith, again, we're not talking about sideline issues, but John says, you've got people who are denying that Christ has come in the flesh, the incarnation, and either out of sentimentality or a lack of discernment, you're endorsing that. And he says in verse 11, anyone who welcomes them, you share in their wicked work. In other words, there are things we need to say yes to and things to which we need to say no. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I put the little gospel triage thing up here on the screen. There you'll see the words, essential, congregationally important, third level importance. I mean, there are certain things of first importance, essential. They define what a Christian is and someone who's not a Christian. And then there are matters of congregational importance and distinctiveness where, you know, it's like Paul and Barnabas disagreed on whether or not you take John Mark. Well, you can't take him and not take him at the same time. So they went on separate missionary journeys, but they did not demonize one another. They didn't write one another off. They gave one another patience and grace. But sometimes you can't do a small group or you can't do a local church with people of really good faith, good people, but they're congregational distinctives. That's the reality. And then there are just third level importance things. What John is telling us here is you play your part in protecting the gospel message. As Karen Jobes in her commentary on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John says, the essence of Christian leadership, it has a protective nature to it. We protect the teaching of the apostles that's been passed down. And innovation in Christian belief and practice, it has to be bounded by apostolic orthodoxy, and that's true until Jesus returns. Now, but we also play a part in proclaiming, protecting and proclaiming, and that's the message here in 3 John. In other words, be like Gaius. Support, encourage the good, underwrite, play a part, be generous. And when you do that, you're a partner, you're a co-laborer, you work together. Not everyone can go, but we can all help support. Secondly, hold the loves to be first attitude accountable. Hold it accountable in yourself first. Hold it accountable in your little circle next. Let's protect ourselves from pride. Pride at every stage is your worst enemy. Humility is your best friend. And may I remind you, humility is not a lack of conviction. Humility is not a lack of doctrinal conviction. Only the humble person can have convictions. Why? Because we're willing to come under, we don't trust ourselves. We come under what the Lord has to say. And humility is not passivity. It's not being cowardly. Humility, though, is a willingness to want to put God in the spotlight, to want to develop others, to cheer others on. It's that willingness to use our own gifts and strengths even to benefit others and not just to our own benefit. And that's the beauty of humility. And so, be aware of that loves to be first mindset. Guard against it in yourself and in your circle. And by the way, you want to feed humility, and we'll never perfectly get there, you know. No one can ever, we'll ever be able to say, I'm proud to say I'm no longer proud, you know. None of us can say that. But how can you feed humility? First and foremost, you glory in the cross. And you realize that Jesus has not just saved us from low self-esteem. He has saved us from eternal death and from the just due of our sins. And we glory in the cross. And secondly, you know, celebrate God's gifts and grace to other people. Be willing to share the spotlight and cheer one another on and be grateful for the gifts of others and their gifts in your life. And listen to Scripture more than you listen to yourself. And last of all, I'm just going to quote John and what he says here to Gaius. Do not imitate what's evil. Imitate what's good. There's a lot of junk around you, and you'll have to be discerning. Don't imitate what's evil. Imitate what's good. You see a Diotrephes? Don't go there. You see a Gaius? Yeah. You want to imitate that spirit. All right? Everybody, I want to thank you for being with us today, watching online. I want to thank you for being here in the room. I want to remind you, no one loves you like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say from time to time, I just don't feel like I'm worthy to be called God's child. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ is fully worthy to be your Savior. And that makes you worthy to be God's son and God's daughter. And wherever you may be this day in your life, I know we'd all like to know how things are going to turn out for us personally tomorrow. I wish I could know about tomorrow, the next week, or 3 months from now. Can God give a guarantee? I know that your future is in His hands. I know that ultimately we win. I don't know what 3 months from today will look like for you, but I know this. We're called to walk in truth. What that means is we're going to walk day by day, and we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God for our future and what He will bring about. And there's no better place to be than to be in His hands and in His purposes.